Scripture says, it's not within man that walketh to direct his own path.
Yes.
I believe that there is some human capability of things. God made us somewhat intelligent and don't always seem like it. But the Lord has made us intelligent beings, able to figure and do those kind of things. But I still say that there's no man that walketh able to direct his own path when it comes to eternal or spiritual things,
yes,
to the better things, to the size of that. I think it's possible to learn how to do the things around us. Lord makes us that way. We know how to plant a garden. People have learned how to get most out of the crops and those kind of things. But if the Lord blows on it, it still comes to nothing. And there's nothing you can do about it.
That's right.
Nothing you can do about it. We're put in prayer requests today and was mentioning about the different things that's happening in this world. God's in control of those things. We have a right to pray about it. We have the privilege of praying about it. But ultimately, if He blows on it, there's nothing you can do about it. When the Lord sends the storms, Brother Carl, maybe in his prayer, mentioned the scripture that says, all power in heaven and earth. Well, you think about that. What power is in earth if you got all of it in heaven? Well, you know, He gave powers down here. He gave the natural workings of things. But you know, it's still the Lord that turns the hurricanes.
Yes.
He's still in control of the tornadoes. He rides the whirlwinds. It's still the Lord, and there's nothing we can do about it. We can ask Him, we can beg Him. There's been instant after instant that the testimony has been that the Lord sent a mighty storm that lifted and went over His people and landed on the other side.
Right.
Over and over, the Lord blessing that way. But there's nothing we can do about it. It's not within man to walk it, to direct his own steps either. It's an impossibility. But I think of it today, and I'd like to leave this with you. I appreciate this meeting. I thank the Lord for the people that came and the faithfulness you've had to the meeting.
Yes.
I want you to know that God wants to be with you.
Amen.
Every one of us. God wants a personal relationship with you today. It's not a system that's set up to where you find all your fulfillment because you went to a blessed tent meeting. Life goes on tomorrow. Christianity is not a spectator sport. It's not about seeing some mountain boy from West Virginia get up and, as I like to say, Scripture says it, the foolishness of preaching, make a fool of himself. It's not about you going and seeing that and just listen to Brother Carl or listen to the singing. No, if you can sing, sing. If you can sing, sing. If you got a testimony, testify. It's a personal thing with you and the Lord. The Lord wants to lead us. That's my message for this afternoon. I want to leave with you. The Lord wants to lead you. Personally, individually.
That's true.
Tailor-made for you. The Lord wants to lead you in the path that He made for you before you were born. He saw you in your mother's womb. He knew you before you was ever conceived. He knew you. He knows you today. He tailor-made a path for you. Many of us left that path, but God's got a path back. He's got a path figured. He wants to lead you in what fulfills your life the very most. He wants to be a part of that fulfillment. He wants to lead you. But you know, there's something interesting about leading. You can't lead unless there's a follower. God's got His part, He leads. You have your part, you follow.
Amen.
To willing to be a follower of what the Lord wants to lead us into. I also find my life this way. I've said to the Lord many times, Lord, bless this situation. Then sit and wait for it to happen. Lightning's going to flash and thunder will roll. And it'll be changed. We like it that way. Quick fixes. Microwave age. Push the button and it's done. Just a little bit. We like that. God can, but He don't most of the time do that. You want to pray for something and say, Lord, lead me. Lord, help me. Lord, take me to a place, a better place. Take me, lead me into that. You know, the Lord allows circumstances to do that for you most of the time. The Lord will begin to manipulate and deal in your life and bring you. That's the way the Lord likes to lead people. He likes to lead them by the circumstances, and because what the Lord wants is for us to get it in our hearts for ourselves, meaningful, deep. He wants us to have it that way. He don't want us to use Him like a rabbit's foot that we rub when we want something and instantaneously we're there. No, it's a matter of decisions that we make as we go down through life, choosing, making choices about the Lord, making choice. He brings us to a place. I want to take you to a better land, He's saying. I want to take you to a place of faith. You want to go? How are you going to get to better faith? By exercising faith. And so you say, Lord, lead me into better. Give me more faith. Lead me. I'm willing to go. And before long, there's a place that I've got to get through it. The only way to get through it is to see it by faith.
Yes.
And the Lord leads me to that place. And at any time I want to, I can say, I'm not going to follow. I'm not going to follow. But He's a good shepherd.
Yes, He is.
The Scripture says the shepherd leads the sheep. He goes before them. And they follow, trusting. Trusting, following that He knows where He's going.
Yes.
He knows what He's doing. He knows how to lead our lives. I'm thankful for that today. I want to give you a little bit of my experience. I think I've got the right to do it. In the Apostle Paul's life, there was a time that he persecuted the Christians. And he got a letter of authority.
Yeah.
And he was going to Damascus. And when he got there, he was going to imprison and he was going to execute, and he had an authority to do it. And he was on the road to Damascus. And on the road to Damascus, he met Jesus.
Yeah.
And do you know a number of times in the Scriptures, and I imagine a whole lot of times not in the Scriptures, I think he started out messages many a time saying, I was on the road to Damascus. It was the experience of God in his life.
Yes.
I think we have a right to do that. It's not me. I'm not bragging of anything. I brag in Jesus. He changed my life. I thank God for the way He dealt with me. But He wants to lead every one of us. He wants to lead you. Be willing to follow. Be willing to follow. To be willing to say, yes, Lord, I will go the way You want me to. So I'm going to tell you a little bit about my early experience. The Lord, I actually got saved in a sectarian, what we call a sectarian church, a little place over in my hometown. The Lord dealt with my heart. I responded to that. I had about 3 days of crying and weeping and wondering and all these things before I finally got to the place that I know the Lord saved me in there. And then the Lord started leading me. He started leading. And I so embraced it. I so cherished my salvation. I was a little weird. But it was because I loved it. I embraced it. And I wanted to be saved. And I didn't want to do anything to lose that pearl great price that I had got. So I just was cherishing. I'll tell you about some of the funny things that I did. One of them was that back then I was young and the way the world done things. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with it. I'm just telling you what I'd done. And the style back then was a lot of guys had a part in the middle and the hair come back kind of into a point in the back. That's kind of the way hairstyle was. And that's the way I was when I got saved. And all just not long after I got saved, I looked in the mirror and I said, that's worldly. That's worldly. It's just, I don't know of anybody that I consider godly that would wear their hair, that's wearing their hair like that. And I just put my hair down, and it wasn't that I wouldn't comb it, but that's all I do. But I didn't know no better. I didn't know any better, but I wanted to serve the Lord. And so it was precious to me.
Yeah.
If that's all it is, Lord, that ain't going to get up. I'll do whatever I have to do. I'll do whatever I have to do. But you know, one of the things, folks, that it takes for the Lord to truly be the leader in your life, for you to be honest about yourself. Be honest enough to follow. Be honest enough to say, this is me, Lord. Lord, help me to get where you want to. And be honest enough to follow. Be willing to follow. And so I got saved. The Lord led me, I believe, over to... The Lord spoke to me, went to my sweet grandmother. She said to me one day, and I'd go talk to her, and you didn't go to my grandmother and talk about anything for very long till you talked about the Lord. Because she talked about the Lord. She'd tell you what the Lord was to her and how it was in her life, and she'd tell why I'd gotten saved and went and told Grandma, and oh, she loved it. She loved it, and she talked about the Lord. And so she said, Marty, she said, why don't you come over to the camp meeting? Now I said, well, I'll try to do that. Talk to her the next time. Marty, why don't you come to the camp meeting? And I said, Grandma, I'm coming to the camp meeting. She stuck her little arthritic bony finger in my face and said, no, you won't either. You'll let the devil cheat you out of it. And you know what that did for me? I'll show Grandma. I'll show Grandma. And I went to camp meeting. And when I got over there to the camp meeting, they had all these people in there, and I walked in and sat down there, and somebody called a song, and the singing started. And some of you probably remember Brother Bob Forbes. He was leading the singing, and he was a good songster. It was at the tabernacle, and we had that closed-in tabernacle, and the cement floors, and the saints, and the harmonies, and it was bouncing off. I never heard anything like that in my life. And it came to me. And this is the way it came to me. Oh no, this is it. It was an oh no. Because everything that made sense to me wasn't there. I wanted something else to be right because family, because of what I had. But there was something that was greater than that. I wanted to do what the Lord wanted me to do. And the Lord had led into that. And it got to that place that I said, this is it. There's something here. The Lord's witness unto me. And that witness came to me and it remains in me today. God, witness to me. This is what you're looking for. This is what you're looking for. I thank God that He led me to lead you. He wants to lead you. Do you know after that I made my stand, so to speak, and those things, and oh, I'd go to service and still live 91 miles across two major mountains up there in West Virginia. It's not like 91 miles here. 91 miles up there is, Brother Sammons used to explain it not in miles, but in curves. He said it was 1,500 curves over there. I don't know. I never counted them. If you could count them, I don't know if you can even count them. It's all a curve over there. But we would drive that. Snow didn't stop us. Nothing stopped us. Had to go to service. And you know, the Lord started leading. Started working. I say it because it's my testimony. I didn't choose it. I didn't know it was it. I never imagined, folks, that I could have spoke in front of any crowd whatsoever. I never thought that I could have. My experience was speaking was bad. Some of you have heard me tell it, but when I was a sophomore in high school, we had a teacher. Her name was Miss Varney. It was a high school teacher. She was fast, and she made all of her students give a 3-minute oral report. And I dreaded the thought there was two teachers that had that class, and I wanted the other one desperately. Oh, please don't get that. And they just chose them randomly, I guess. They split them up, and I ended up in Miss Varney's class. It was the most humiliating moment of my entire life to have to stand up and try to give a 3-minute report. Oh, I made my report and everything, and I got up in front of the class, and I started off, and I went so fast, I was so nervous, I went so fast doing this that the whole class just erupted in laughter. They're laughing at me. I'm standing up there red in the face, humiliated. And the teacher says, Marty, just stop. Everybody quieted down, and she said, now start again. I think I started faster the second time than I did the first time. They erupted in laughter, and they laughed and laughed, and Miss Barney laughing too, and trying to keep from it. She was a gracious lady, but she said, Marty, just sit down, and you can do it at another time. And I said, no way. I'm going to do it now. And I went ahead and gave my report. And I got a C-. I thought it was an A+ just for getting up. But I thought there's no way I could do this. Ever want to do it again. No way. But you know, there's things different in God than there is in nature or natural things. It's a difference. And God can do things and lead. And God began to lead me in my life and work with me in my life. And He didn't do it lightning and thunder. He done it a little at a time. Brought me on. Led me is what He did. He led me. He led me to things. And I'd be sitting in service and I'd get thoughts in my mind. The Lord would give me thoughts. And sometimes He'd want me to share them. And I started being faithful to the Lord when He inspired me to share a little thought. And that's all it started out to being. Sharing a little thought. And the Lord started using that. And then there come a time that Brother Tony said to me, he said, "We need a Sunday school teacher, an adult Sunday school teacher." And I said to him, and I don't know why to this day those words came out of my mouth. They did. They just come out. I told him, I guess because I didn't know just anything you can put in the future, I guess you can just put it off. But he said that, and I said to him, "Brother Tony, I'd be willing to do anything that I need to do for the Lord." And he said, "Would you really?" And I said, "Yeah. Yes, I would. I would be willing." And you know, it wasn't long after that that the one Saturday the Lord was just stirring my heart with the Scripture. I didn't have nothing to do with it. I didn't teach or didn't preach, but the Lord gave me a Scripture, and boy, it was just a rolling. And then the next morning, just right before service, and this is not the way to do it, but the Lord was in it. Brother Tony called me up and said, "Do you know Dad's out of town? We need a Sunday school teacher this morning. Do you think you can do it?" Yeah. Matter of fact, the Lord gave me something to share. I ain't bragging, but the Lord blessed it. Not because it was me, because the Lord's that way. He's good. He'll bless you too and what He leads you to. Be encouraged today. The Lord wants a relationship that He creates with you where He leads and guides you until when you get through, you don't have to say it was this brother or that brother or someone over there. It's the Lord Jesus. It's the Lord that gave it to you. The Lord gave me that Scripture. The Lord taught me how to do it. I don't know how everybody else does it. I know how the Lord's taught me in my life. You know what I do when I'm looking something and seeking the Lord for messages? There's 66 books in here. There is all kind of stuff in here. I don't go thinking through my mind. You know what I do? I start looking to the Lord and the thought. And when inspiration, I feel it. I feel the inspiration. And there's just words just reading. I didn't read them left like that. But when the Spirit of God starts leading and giving inspiration, I know it. I know it. I feel it. I feel the inspiration. Sometimes I mention it explodes in me. I know that's it. The Lord just showed me this is the need of the hour. This is it. Because it's inspired. The Lord wants to lead you with the inspiration of His Spirit into life, into your life, into what you do. So I started teaching Sunday school. And after a while they started saying, "He's getting awful preachy." Well, some folks up home said, "He's going to preach." You know what I told them? I said, "Let me tell you something. If I preach, you better listen. Because it's definitely going to be the Lord." But you know, there came a time Brother Tony preached a message a Sunday night. It was one of those messages to where, who's the man to stand in the gap? Mm-hmm. And he preached that message. And I remember where I was a-setting, and I literally was a-going and trying to put the message on the fella across there and the one back there. No, it don't fit him. No, it don't fit that one. No, it don't pertain. You know, to me, there was only one fella in that whole building that message, I know it wasn't, but I'm saying the way I felt, that message was mine. Like the Lord was sending me a message. And in that, when He's done that, I felt so incapable, unable. I felt like there's no way that I could fulfill what the message was calling for. Just couldn't do it. A few weeks after that, I had a dream. I had a dream that I was looking down below this great dam. It was brick on the backside of this great dam. And the people of God was down there. Nobody in particular, couldn't tell you who, just the people of God, saints, just the saints, was along that wall. And there was a little frantic going by because between the bricks there started springing little bits of water. And they was going through there frantically saying, "This is going to give way." And I was there watching that and thinking, oh, that's a disaster. And then somebody turned and looked and said, oh, there's Brother Marty. He can help. He can stop it. And I was like, I can stop it. No, come on, Brother Marty, you can do it. You're the one that can stop it. And in my dream, I remember, I felt just exactly like I did when Brother Tony preached. Not me. It's somebody else. I can't do that. And they kept saying, come on, Brother Marty, you can do it. So in my dream, I was come by and I was able to just touch the wall, and wherever it was leaking, it would stop. And it went through there. And it was a rejoicing. And I was able to do it. And I felt so little and so humbled that I could do something like that in my dream. And I woke up. You know, that was the Lord leading me. I said when I woke up, so vivid, so real, I said to the Lord, Lord, I don't know why You would choose me, but if there's any way that I can help to hold back the tide of this world against Your people, I'll do it. I'll do it. I don't understand it, but I'll do it. Lead me. I've prayed many times, Lord, lead me by desire. Help me to feel the need that You feel. Help me to feel the need of the people that's around that have needs. If You're leading into it, help lead me by my desire. Help me not to make a mistake in where I go and what I say. Lead me by that desire. The Lord wants to lead us.
Yes, He does.
It's not individual to me, Brother Carl. God wants to lead you.
Amen.
In the same kind of way. Not maybe specifically, but God wants to lead you in your life. He wants to give you things to say. I don't know how many people in here has done altar work, for example. I have. It's been amazing to me to go to a place where somebody has a deep need and they're sobbing at the altar, to go to that altar completely, you want to say, what is it, impromptu? You can't study things like that. You don't know what to think. And to go there, and in the process of the dealing, the Spirit of the Lord come down and fix the problem and give you an answer while you're there in prayer. I hope you all do it, but I know I do. When I go, I'm in my mind. I'm saying, Lord, help us. Lord, help us. I don't know the answers. Lord, I don't know the answers. Not within man to walketh to direct his own steps. And I definitely am a man and don't know. Lord, help us. And how many times that the Lord shows up there to give me words that I didn't know to speak and blesses me while I'm saying them and give the answer to the seeker. It's God that leadeth. It's God that's working. Oh, the only thing that can stop the free flow of it is a rebellion against it. I will not walk in the steps that the Lord is leading me in. He'll bring us to places and we can stop any time. Follow. Follow the Lord. Allow the Lord to lead you in your life. I think of another story I like to tell. I read this some years ago. There was a group of people in Chicago, and I don't even know what year it was. But they was got together and decided that they was going to go out and evangelize Chicago. So they went out with their flyers and their literature and their testimonies burning, and they had little result. They had no results. They did this for a while and nothing was happening. Nobody was responding. So the pastor's wife says, I'm going to pray about it. And we got to really praying about it. As the others was gone, she gave herself to fasting and prayer. Just prayer. And she had a vision during prayer. She saw, I believe it was Lincoln Street or something like that. She saw it in her mind, in her vision. She saw this street sign, and she saw an apartment there. And the stairs went up a certain way and up into the apartment. She saw that and in her vision. And it touched her, and she went to her husband and said, I've had a vision. And told him about it, and he said, well, I don't even know if there is a street like that in Chicago. Well, they got out their maps and got looking. Sure enough, there was a street. So they went there, and they was going along, and just now she said, that's it! That's it! That's what I saw, that building! That staircase, that's it! And they went up there and knocked on the door, and at first they didn't hear anything. They did it again, and then they heard a plea from inside, "Help me," a faint cry, "Help me, help me." There was an old Christian lady in there that had fallen. And she couldn't get to the phone, and she was like 2 days laying in there praying that the Lord would send somebody to help her. And the contact was made when a person got to the place that the Lord could say something to them. You know how if we're not careful, we don't hear. God's not going to just explode things. He whispers. He wants us to listen for Him. He wants us to hear Him. He wants us to realize that we need to be led.
Amen.
Help us to follow, Lord. You've got so much out there to do. Help me to do that. Another story I like to tell was one of my experiences. I was going one time between jobs. I didn't have enough time to go home. So I would stay in an area where my dad lived, where I grew up, and I wouldn't go on home. And this particular day, I was going home, and I thought, I need something. I was wrestling around with things, and I needed something, and I wanted to enjoy something. And so I remembered a place. It was up in the October, and it was a beautiful October day with the leaves falling, and I liked to hunt, and our squirrel season was in. And I remembered a place up on the mountain up there that I used to go as a boy and had a wonderful time up there hunting. And I thought, there's the answer. That's the answer. That's what's going to satisfy me. So I went to my dad's and I got a shotgun and I went up there and sat down up there where it had always been so good up in there. And a little bit, I realized something. Took all my problems up there with me. Took everything I was thinking up there with me. Wasn't the same. It didn't fulfill me. It wasn't what I was supposed to be doing. And you know, I felt like the Lord said something to me up there. You get down out of here. And you go visit some folks. There were some folks. And He said, you go visit them. And I said, yes, Lord. I come right back off the hill, put the stuff up, and drove a few miles down to their house. And when I knocked on the door, there was a pitiful cry said, come in. And when I come in, here was this couple in tears. And he said to me, he said, thank God. We was here praying that the Lord would send us somebody to help us. God heard their cries. And He sent somebody that's willing to go. Are you willing today to go? The Lord wants to lead you. Oh, don't think of it in the great terms. Just think of it in the faithful terms. God may have a card for you to spill out. Oh, you don't know. I'm going to tell you. And I talked to Brother Ted Bach about this, and he don't remember it. But I remember a day that I had a great need. And I went to the mailbox. This has been years ago. And I pulled out a card out of the mailbox and opened it up. And it was from Brother Ted Bach. And it said on the card, nothing big and elaborate, it said, thanking of you, Brother Marty. It was love, Brother Ted. It did it. It did it. It inspired me. That brother actually, all the way out in Sepulpa area, was thinking about me. It just inspired me. Because there was life in that. It was led of God to do it. You know, you may have a phone call just real close that God's leading you to. There may be a lot of things around in your world and things that's so necessary to the souls of people. The simple that God wants to lead you to. Lord, help us to be faithful followers of the Lord. John 16. Oh, see. Seventh verse. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send Him unto you. And when He is come, He will reprove the world of sin, and of righteousness, and of judgment, Of sin because they believe not on me. Of righteousness because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment because the prince of this world is judged. I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot hear them now. Howbeit, when the Spirit of truth, there is so many much error in the world today. There is so much error. But there is a Spirit of truth. And when He comes, this is what He's going to do. He will guide you into all truth. He don't lead outside of truth. That's what His purpose is. When we say yes to the Lord, the very emotions of the things around us in the hands of the Lord become an instrument to get us to that truth that He wants us to have. He leads us that way. He'll stir our minds. He'll touch our bodies. He'll bring the attention towards Himself that He might lead and guide us in the truth, that we might get to the place that we're willing to receive that of the Lord. I think of the story of Daniel. Forgive me for not having it right fresh, but there was a story where Daniel had need of getting a hold of the Lord. And he began to fast. It said that he fasted 21 days. 21 days he fasted. And he got the answer. He got the answer. 21 days. 3 weeks. He got the answer. And the answer was, I heard you the first day. But I had to battle with the prince of Persia. Alright? Now, I don't know how you think of that scripture. This is the way I think about it. Daniel was a magistrate in sense. He was a leader, a ruler. He was highly esteemed. He had work to do. He had a job. He gave himself faithfully to it, as he should have. But the battle that took place there, God commands the spirits of this world. He commands all the princes of the world. God commands the devil. Absolutely, He commands the devil. He condemns all the spirits of the enemy. He commands them in every sense. The only place that there can be a war is in the hearts of men. That's where the battle's at. It's not in the heavens. It's not in God's kingdoms. It's in the hearts of people. The battle that went forth, He heard the prayer from the beginning, but He had to work with Daniel. He had to get Daniel cleared out of all the duties of life. He had to bring him to the place that he could give him the answer. That's what the fast was for. It wasn't altogether to move God. God heard it. It wasn't to defeat the devil, in a sense, but it was to work in Daniel's life to get him to the place that he could hear the voice. In tunes more, led more, leading and guiding him into the truth, you see. And he got the answer that he was seeking. Lord, help you and I to be able to get to the place that God wants us to be, that He would lead and guide us. I think God wants more workers.
Yes, He does.
And I hate to narrow it down, because really in my mind, I think everybody's a worker of God. It's just, and it's no big eyes or big you just because you do this, you do that. No, you're just as important in your world as what anybody else is. Wherever you're at, mothers, be encouraged. God wants to lead and guide you as a mother into the best ways of raising your children and being wives to your husbands and to be an example to other women. He wants to lead and guide you into that. And if your job for the Lord is just working a job and being fat, God wants you to be the best example you can be. And you know He wants to lead and guide you into that. He wants you to be successful at it. This says to... Oh, let's see. 13. Howbeit, when the Spirit of truth is come, He will guide you into all truth, for He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and He will show you things to come. Thank God. Remember one day at home, we kind of had a little thing that Brother Tony was pastor, he'd preach the morning service. He never did say it. I don't know. We work different up there at home. We just let the Lord lead and these things. But But he never did. I don't remember him ever did that. He ever said, "Brother Marty, why don't you just take a Sunday night service?" He just said, "Well, if the Lord ever gives you something," seemed like every Sunday the Lord would give me something, and so I had the Sunday night services and all that. Remember one day particularly, a Sunday afternoon, and I thought, well, you know, the Lord hasn't given me anything for tonight's service. And I thought, well, maybe I ought to give the Lord a little time for that. And I went and told myself, I still remember how I dove on the couch, kind of a backward dive on the couch to lay my head back, and I kind of ducked on the couch just about the time my head hit the bottom of the couch. A word popped into my consciousness. A word with inspiration that just seemed to me exploded with it. And scriptures started coming. Scriptures started coming to my mind that went with the word. And all of a sudden, within about 2 or 3 minutes, I knew what the night service was, and I didn't even have to go get my Bible. I'm not saying that's the normal, but that's the way the Lord can do it. He did it with me. Gave me that with inspiration. I didn't even get my Bible. Didn't have to. I knew what the scriptures was at. I knew what to do, and went on the service. And I preached so free. Just preach free. The Lord give it to me. Yeah. The Lord knows what He's doing.
Does.
We can make mistakes. It was a Wednesday night. We used to alternate Wednesday nights. We have a Bible study, and then the next one we'd have a prayer meeting and testimonies, and then the next one we'd have a Bible study. This was Bible study night. Wednesday night. Been studying my Bible, and the Lord gave me a thought. I'm sorry, I wasn't studying my Bible when I got the thought. And I got this thought that kept popping in my mind through the day. And I kept thinking, I need to give that some time and attention. That's quite a thought. And several times it come to me an idea of doing the Wednesday night service. And I kept saying to my mind, no, because Brother Tony's here and he does the Sunday night service. And I put it completely off. Come time for the Bible study, Wednesday night. Never happened before and never happened after. He got up to when it come time for the study, Brother Tony got up and he said, "Been seeking the Lord for days, a couple of days, on trying to get something for the night service." And said, "I've come up empty. The Lord ain't got a thing." He said, "If anybody's got anything." I didn't have it. But the Lord tried to get me to have it. We don't have to say yes, folks. You can say no. You can say I'm not gonna be sensitive, I'm not gonna listen, and I'm not gonna go. But it's not a good idea.
Right.
I'm gonna tell you, it's a blessing. It's not within man to direct his own steps. It's not possible for you and I to get from here to there. It wasn't a purpose thing. I didn't understand the leadings totally. I assumed some things, but the Lord was working. He said He wanted to lead and guide us into all truth. Folks, the Lord's alive today. He really is alive. He wants to be alive in your heart and in your life. He wants to be the leader of your life and rule your life. The only thing that stops you from being that is us. It really is. So give Him the place to lead and guide and rule into your life. If you got any questions, well, let me get a scripture to back this up. It's in Philippians, I believe, Philippians 3. The Lord desires that you and I would understand. It's a mystery. There's a mystery of the things of God. Natural man can't perceive the things of God. It's an impossible thing that we could understand. But God wants us to know. I'm going to read some of this. This is a good scripture. 10th verse of the 3rd chapter, "that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His suffering, being made conformable unto His death." He wants us to understand. Do you know the times that I've really prayed to be more like the Lord made the circumstances for me to be more like Him? One old brother said, "You better watch what you pray for because you might get it." Started praying, "Lord, I want to be more like You." I'm going to tell you, He'll make a circumstance for you to be like He was. And you know what that usually is? Self-denial. It's about suffering. Being made conformable unto His death. if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which I also am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to apprehend, have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded, and if anything ye be otherwise minded. Now listen to that. That's so valuable. If you be in any way otherwise minded, you're thinking different than that. If any way that's there, if you're honest and really want to be led of the Lord, He's not going to leave you there being different minded. He wants to lead you to think differently and think in the right order. So He says, God shall reveal even this unto you. He wanted to lead you and make you to understand the deeper things. He wants you to understand what it is. I want to tell you, I've told this many times, I was praying one time, Lord, I want to be more like You. And again, we get in our mind, if we pray that somehow some divine power of God changes us in spite of ourselves. Well, it may have worked that way for you, but it hasn't worked that way for me. I was praying to be more like the Lord, and the Lord brought the incident to come to mind where a guy done me wrong. Now, I'd been helping and blessing him. They was my close neighbor. I'd been blessing his grandmother. I've been helping her. I've been doing everything I could do, and anything she wanted, I'd do it speedily. I just helped her. I loved her and wanted to help her and all these things, and then he done me that way. And I went away saying, I told the Lord, all I wanted to do was do them good. And the Lord said to me, yeah, me too. I got it, Brother Carl. I understood that. Yeah, me too. You've been praying to be more like me? You got a good chance right now. I understood that. Now how am I going to think and feel about what had just happened? I understood what the Lord went through. He came to this earth to do good. To save, to bless, to heal, to give hope, to bring sight to the blind. And hearing to the deaf. And to open the mouth that couldn't speak. And to give the weak knees strength to stand and to bless. And He didn't have any other purpose but to come to this world and bless humanity. And they despised Him for it. No, sure. I felt like I had a perfect opportunity to be more like the Lord. To suffer and bless. And so I chose that way, and I'm glad that I did. I came out on top. I understood a little bit more about the Lord and His sacrifice than I ever had again. Because you can see it in your mind. You can understand it with your intellect. But when you feel it in your heart, yeah, the way it was, then you got something real. I know what it was like for the Lord to have been called Beelzebub when He was doing everything good. I knew what it was like then to suffer when the only hope that I would have done anything for those people. Anything. And I got rejected. It hurt.
Yes, it does.
It hurts. It hurt the Lord too. Lord, help us today. If He be any otherwise minded, He would reveal even this unto thee. One other time, my experience, we was going along. I remember my first wife was very, very sick. We was driving home, tired, wore out. Didn't have hardly any strength about us at all. Just going home, miles to get there, and we was driving. And I looked up ahead of us on the highway, and I saw a car pulled off to the side. I see cars pulled off the side all the time. But this one was different, because the Lord said something. Pay attention. Well, got up there, and there was a young girl by an old car, standing there by the road, standing. It was easy to see. It was overheated. So I pulled over and I come back to her and said, is there anything I can help you with? And she kind of said, well, I don't know. So I started trying to do it. Well, let's take a look. Maybe I could do something. And again, I said, well, if I can help you, I will. If there's anything I can do. And she said, I don't know. Well, I looked at it and all. I said, well, you got a hose. It looks like a hose busted. And I said, I don't have it. If I had the right stuff, I said, it looks like there's enough length of hose left. And I said, if I had something to cut that off with and maybe a pair of pliers and a screwdriver. You got a pair of pliers and screwdrivers? No. And I said, if we had that, I said, we could probably get some water and I could put that on and we could probably get you going again, at least for a while, get you going again. And I said, is that what you want to do? And she said, I don't know. I don't know. And I said, well, we can try if you want to. We'll go. So we got it. She got in the car with us, and we took off, and we went up to the next exit, and we got off, and there was an auto store of some kind there. Anyway, when we got there, I thought, well, she should get in. I got pliers and screwdrivers at home. I really don't need any more. But when we got there, she just sat there. And so, I'll go in and get them. So I went in and got the stuff that I needed and come back out. And then went back to her car and we got some water and all. Anyway, we got back there and I done all that. And she was able to start the car up. And when she did, it wasn't long. I could tell what the problem was then. It was actually her water pump was bad. It's what caused it to do what it did to start with. And I told her, I said, ma'am, I'm just not able, don't have the stuff or capability to do this right here on the highway to help you with that. So I said, is there anything else we can do? And she said, I don't know. So I said, well, how about if we go up to the exit that we was on? It was a station there. And let's go up. And we was tired and we wanted to go home. And this was getting long, long. And so I said, let's go. And we went up and we pulled off there. And when we got into there, she just sat in her car. And I asked her, I said, do you want me to go talk to them? And she said, yeah, go talk to them. So I went in and told them the problem, and they said, yeah, we can take care of her. And I said, I come back and told her, I said, ma'am, they said they can take care of you. They can get the water pump just right here, and you'll be on your way before long. And I said, that's all we can do. And so I was walking off, and she spoke to me, and she said with a tear on her cheek, thank you. And I left out of there, and on the way home, the Lord visited me in that car. And He said, if you're going to do anything to help people, you're going to have to sacrifice to do it. And I learned something there of Jesus' sacrifice that I had never known before. And then I remembered something that came back into my mind. I had been praying, Lord, help me to understand that more. Help me to understand You more. Help me to be more like You are. And then I learned something. You make your plans for your picnics and your events and all that and set them so concretely in your mind. The Lord let me to know You'll sacrifice if you help anybody. And He also let me to know that we are all like that, spiritually speaking. I don't know. Lord, I don't know. You ever been there? I don't know the answer. I don't know how to get me different than I am. I just don't know. And He's willing, He was willing to come down from glory, come down here and be a man, that He might be able to be touched by the feelings of our infirmities, that He might know how to bless you and I. He did it, and He wants to lead every one of us into the same compassion that He possesses. He wants us to feel the needs of those that are around us. And you may say, well, I just will do it. I challenge you to just do it. You can turn yourself on like that and off that you can do. I can't. I need the Lord to lead me into these kind of areas. I need the inspiration of God. I thank the Lord that He's willing to do that for us. The Lord bless us like that and help us. I want to end with this little thought with the Scripture. And I know most all of us knows the Scripture. Romans 12:1 starts out with saying, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice. That's our part. Along the road going from here to home to West Virginia, there is all kind of signs. You'll go up your ways and you'll have an option. You can go this way or you can go this way. You get on up there a ways and it's going to say you can head north, you can head on west. You can go this way or that way. You get up there at a certain point and it's going to say it again. You can go there. You mention them by the town. One of them will say go to Joplin. And we was going the other day and we'll tell them my wife and daughter. Of course, I'll take the blame for it. We was driving along and we went through Tulsa on 44 for years. I mean, regularly. I went through there so many times, Brother Carl, I don't know. I went through there six times before I get through out here this time. We went through there time and time again. And we're driving along and not paying much attention, and just now my wife says, Joplin! We go to Joplin. Gee, I was Joplin! The sign on there said Joplin. And my daughter said, it said Joplin. And I said, we never took that way, but we either had to go or we had not to go. It was going up to the funeral. And they said, no, it said Joplin, This is now I took off on that road. Brother Carl, I never have done that. That's that loop deal that goes down there south of... That ain't the way to go. We went way down there and got stuck up in a bunch of stuff. Then when we come back, the way we come up, we couldn't have been too far where we took off from. We was in a hurry trying to keep from being late, and all of a sudden we went through there. And I said, it's my responsibility. I was driving. I'll take responsibility for it. But the sign says go here, and you go this way, you go that way. Signs are all the way up through there. You know, this Bible's a wonderful book because it's a sign. It's signposts everywhere about how to tell us where to go. How to go. This says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you a signpost, that you present your bodies. I think that's talking about the whole man, all of us, all that the whole the body holds and the body itself. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, or I beg you, I plead with you, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is an outstanding great... No, it's a reasonable service. It's reasonable that we would do that to God. Because He can lead and guide us this way. You know, He's always limited unless we do. Unless we turn over ourselves to His leadership. Unless we do that, He will always be limited in trying to get us to do and go and do. But when we give it over, Lord, I'm willing. I'm willing. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Folks, that's what we want in serving the Lord. We want His will, His perfect will in our life. Oh, it's a blessing. God's will is a blessing in our lives. Lead us, Lord. As a shepherd leads his sheep, lead us. We sing songs about leadership and all that, but I'm going to tell you, we need to sing the ones about following too.
Yes.
Because it's hard. I mean, leadership is nothing unless you have someone that's willing to follow. I am amazed at people that have done it. I never had to and didn't choose to, but people that go into the military, because to me it's a great sacrifice to just give yourself to it, because folks, when it comes to battles, they put you in a place and you may be part of the one that charges, that they know that they ain't nobody going to live in it, but that's the way war is. And they give it, and when they say go, they go. But you know, in the Lord's army, He's always there as the great captain of our souls. And when He says go, we can go. And we can know that it'll all be well. You pray for me. I want to be faithful.